Good morning. Good morning. You guys look awesome. It was a great weekend for my family. If you are on Facebook at all, maybe you know that we married off one of my three sons. My Carson got married yesterday, 14 years old. It was really exciting, an arranged marriage. And we married off Caleb and Caitlin yesterday. And just a really, really special weekend. And it was really, really fun because at the rehearsal dinner, we had gathered everybody that was part of the wedding and part of the the bridesmaids and groomsmen and all the families and ring bearers and stuff like that. And Caleb and Caitlin knew that we've been very close friends with Evan and Christopher Nald for years, and they very much wanted them to be a part of the wedding and be there, and it was just impossible since they had moved away to Tennessee, and we just let them know that that wasn't going to be possible. And Evan and Chris responded and said, you know, they RSVP'd and said, regretfully, we can't make it. And we just, before any of that ever took place, we had been conspiring and planning on them being here for that. And so they came out dressed as servers at Schipollini's at the rehearsal dinner, brought out bread to everybody. It was pretty awesome. And the good news for you is that you're not going to get me preaching because I am exhausted. I'm planning on napping on the front row during the rest of service. And but the really exciting thing is that you guys love Carissa, and we love them as well. And we get to have her this morning come bring God's word to us. And so give her a big welcome this morning.
Thank you, Pastor. Love you. Ooh, I got to get all the hugs I can get, you know. I miss that. You miss community. You don't realize how much until you don't have it, and you're building it from scratch again. So it's so good to see your faces. I'll cry if I talk too much about that. But yeah, some of you have been wondering what's going on with us, and to be honest, we have too much to talk about from the Word. So maybe what I can do is post a video for you on Facebook or something. You can get kind of our personal story of where we're at in our faith journey, our plunge into Tennessee. It's been really crazy and really good. But this morning, God has just been speaking to me a nugget of truth to just deliver to you, to your heart. So let's pray and ask the Lord to just come and speak to us. God, you rule, you reign in this place. Every name is below your name, Jesus. And we came in here today with so many things, so many things on our minds, on our hearts. I just pray right now in this moment that your Holy Spirit would just bring peace. You break through all the noise. We could hear you clearly. Because one word from you will make all the difference. So we give you permission. We give you permission. Here we are, ready to grow, ready to hear from you. If that's your heart today, would you say a big amen with me? Amen. Amen. You know, I love this series, This Is Us. I've seen a little bit of the TV show. But this is even bigger than the TV show. This is like the purposes of the church. And, you know, it's easy to think of church as being a service, like right now. Well, this is church right now, what we're doing. It's easy to think of it as being programs. You know, people go, oh, what are you doing tonight? Oh, I'm going to church. My church has a fellowship group or a community group meeting. We forget that the church is actually people. The church is you and me. That means we carry the church outside of this building when service is over. And I love that. The church isn't a building. It's people. And God's desire is not just to draw a crowd. He doesn't just want people that will come and check things out. He wants people to become fully devoted followers of him, which is kind of why we gather for service, is to hopefully become better followers of Jesus. That's kind of why we're here, right? Discipleship at its core is to be a learner, to be a learner, to be a student of Jesus. That's what discipleship is. It's a pretty simple process. Except when it's not. Of becoming all that God has designed us to be. I love this. This is in Acts 20, verse 32. This is the Message translation. It says, now I'm turning you over to God, our marvelous God, whose gracious word, everybody say word. His word can make you into what he wants you to be and give you everything you could possibly need. That's encouraging. in this community of holy friends. It's like talking about the church is saying it's not, you know, necessarily always people or a discipleship class that we take or fellowship with other believers, but it's like literally in this community of holy friends, it's the word of God that actually brings about the change in us that we want. It's the word of God being spoken and demonstrated through people, of course, but it's the word of God, the very truth, the words of Jesus that can bring transformation in our lives. So if you do not read your Bible every day, please do it. Not because you got chastised this morning by Carissa, this little crazy blonde girl. No, it's because that's how we learn. That's how we grow in our faith and in our walk with Jesus. Last week, Pastor Chris talked about the word go. It's part of the Great Commission, right? Go, and the very next phrase is make disciples. Make disciples. So we exist to grow. Fill this in your outlines. We exist to grow as followers. Grow as followers of Jesus and make more disciples. Make more disciples. Jesus is looking for followers who will say, I'm all in. I'm all in. And I wonder today if anybody's with me and saying, I'm all in. And if you're not, that's okay. I'm going to give you a few things today to study in this story that maybe today, after today, you can apply one of these or all of them. And you can grow a little bit closer to be more like Jesus, which is the goal. Okay, so I thought, you know, what better way to study discipleship and this concept of growing in Christ than to study a disciple? And in honor of Pastor Appreciation, I chose your favorite disciple, Pastor Chris. Your favorite disciple is Peter, because he talks about Peter all the time. And I thought, oh, I better not, because Pastor Chris talks about Peter all the time. And I thought, no. Of course, we should be talking about Peter. It's Pastor Appreciation Sunday. And I appreciate your not only the call of God that you've obeyed in tough seasons and in great seasons, but the fact that you constantly go to the Word and you're constantly an example of us of being a learner. And I love that you constantly grow. You don't just go, well, this is the way I am. You're like, no, I'm thinking of the conversation we had before we left and just how awesome. You all don't get to be part of all of those moments, but I was honored to be part of that moment and just go, wow, you just keep raising the bar on yourself and exceeding the expectations that God has for you. It's just beautiful to watch. So I didn't mean to do that. That wasn't in my notes. That was from the heart because I love you guys. Okay, so we're in Matthew chapter 4, and this is kind of the summary statement. Matthew gives us this description of this encounter that Jesus has with Peter. His other name is Simon. Okay, so, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And their response was, they immediately left their nets and followed him. Now, I wonder in this room, how many of us is that our first response? If I'm going to be completely honest, I'm more like the little kid that you see following their parent who has just told them they have to leave the jungle gym at Chick-fil-A. And that little kid is, right, they're following their parent like 10 feet behind and whining all the way, I don't want to go. Right? Come on. Is anybody else like that? When it comes to like following Jesus, there's mornings it's easier to tithe. Mornings it's easier to submit to your spouse. Mornings it's easier to read your Bible, right? And there's other times it's like, do I have to? That's just like that. We're all in it together. We're all in it together. Jesus knows. Oh, but I want it to be an immediate response in my heart. I want to go all in. Fill this in. To be all in, I must say yes to, here's number one, the opportunity to be included. I must say yes to the opportunity to be included. It's really easy for us to think that we run the universe. This isn't our story. This is God's story. We get to be part of what God is doing in this earth. Come on. It's easy to get so wrapped up in ourselves, we forget that. So I just want to remind everybody. I'm reminding myself as well. Okay, the Bible gives us more details. It's really cool because in Luke chapter 5, he starts to give us more details of this same account. So it's neat because you have the Gospels. You get to go and say, you know, what details did this one record and what details did this one record? So this is Luke's account of that same story that was so summarized in the other book. It says, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water, so he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. I wonder what would have happened if Peter said no. Here, he's over washing his nets. Jesus steps into his boat and says, hey, I want to use your boat. What if Peter had said, you know, we've been fishing all night. I already cleaned up my nets. I'm actually headed home. Right? Oh. I wonder if Peter would have ever walked on the water. I wonder if Peter would have ever seen 5,000 people fed with a small lunch. I wonder if Peter would have seen his mother-in-law who was sick all of a sudden restored and making them a yummy meal, because grandmas know how to make yummy meals, right? Mother-in-laws are good cooks. Hopefully yours is. Mine is. I wonder if Peter would have ever been walking through a street and his shadow heal people. Like, how awesome would that be? Would you sign up for that? Like, I would in a heartbeat. I'd be like, are you kidding? A powerful shadow? That would be amazing. I wonder if in that moment, Peter had said, no, I'm tired. I need to get home. I have other things to do. What he would have missed out on. He accepted the opportunity to be included. You know, one of the biggest regrets of my life happened at the age of 7. I'm sitting on a silver bench with my little girlfriend, and we are in the splash zone. And our family is up over here somewhere, and I'm sitting there with my little girlfriend. We're waiting for the show to start, and a man walks up to us and says, would you like to meet Shamu? And everything inside of me is like, yes! I would love to meet Shamu, but I'm just scared spitless. This is a stranger danger situation. You know, am I allowed to talk to him? I'm looking over at my parents. Before I could say anything, my little girlfriend goes, no. She was so shy. And the man, before I could even get the words out, he walked away. I had to sit there in that show and watch that giant black and white fish do amazing tricks. First time I'd ever seen it in my life. And then go over, and this little kid got to pet this giant fish. And I was devastated inside. I was devastated. I'm 7 years old, and it was the worst regret of my life, you know? We miss out. We miss out. And the cool thing about God is he gives us more chances. But I wonder, in between us not accepting that invitation, what we miss out on. Trajectory. Availability determines the trajectory of our lives. Fill that in. When I say yes to God, I allow him to determine my steps. I allow him to determine the destiny, the track that I'm going to go on, completely changing the course of my life. Some of you in here today, you've never fully said yes to Jesus. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to not just ask him to forgive you of your sins, but to say, I'm all in. I'm all in. Whatever direction you want my life to go, I'm all in. And I hope that's your prayer today. He's calling your name. I love this. This is Romans 12:2. And the Message translation just adds different thoughts to it. Not different thoughts, but it helps you think of it differently. And so I love this translation. It says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. And I love this phrase, readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you. Come on. You guys are awfully quiet today. Come on, that's good work. God brings out. Jesus says, I will make you. God brings out the best of us. He develops well-formed maturity in you. So I just want to encourage you, when you invite, you accept Jesus' invitation, it's going to be a divine opportunity. It's going to be more than just saying, hey, yeah, let's go to lunch today to somebody. It changes the direction of your life, and it's beautiful because Jesus says what he starts, he will finish. Come on, tell your neighbor, don't miss the boat. Okay, here's number two. To be all in, I must say yes to solidarity with his spirit. Solidarity with his spirit. Just like Jesus says, follow me and I will make you. The spirit, his spirit in us is what helps us to come into agreement with him. Solidarity, that word means unity or agreement, a feeling or action, especially over a common interest. Isn't that good? God wants you to grow, so when you say, hey, yeah, I want to grow, and you come into solidarity with his spirit, things happen, things change. In the Bible, it describes it as walking in the spirit instead of the flesh. It talks about being connected to the vine, the source, Jesus Christ, to be able to grow and produce fruit in our lives. It's like none of us would expect, like, a smartphone to operate with no battery, right? Like, it would drain out, and no one would expect it to be able to function. No one would expect it to be productive, because it's dead, right? It doesn't have a charge. It doesn't have energy. And so we plug it into the wall to give it electricity. Yeah. And it's like that. The Spirit of God in us, that is the force, the power that helps us live this out. It's found in Philippians 2, verses 12 through 13. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Because how many of you know electricity is pretty powerful? Yeah. You could get stung if you don't have a healthy respect for it. That's a good illustration of the fear of the Lord. That was for free. God is working in you, it says. God is working in you. The very God who created the universe, his power is working in you. The very power that raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling in you. Whoa! Sorry, I got a little emphatic there. Him working in you, he gives you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. That's really cool. Because that means when Jesus asks us to do something, women, when Jesus asks you, submit to your husband, he's going to help to make that an enjoyable experience for you. He's going to give you the power to carry out that choice. Pick your area of wrestling. Submitting to authority, maybe yours, and maybe tithing, it may be fill in the blank. When we come into solidarity with his spirit, who is telling us to do something, through his word, he confirms it, and we go, ooh, this is a little too close to home, right? That's that area where when we come into agreement with God, he gives us the power to carry out that choice. I love that. Our part is we have to stay connected to him. We have to stay in agreement with him. Okay, let's get back to our story. We're at verse 4. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper. Everybody say deeper. And let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. Has anyone ever like done the night shift where you're like up all night? Could you imagine, Kimber, you do the night shift every single night, huh? Could you imagine in the morning somebody wanting to, like asking more of you? You'd be like, are you kidding? Like, I did this all night long. Why do I have to do this again? Like, we worked hard all last night and we didn't catch a thing. But, this is key, if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time, they were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners on the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. Did you notice when you choose obedience, the blessing of that is more than you can contain? You could work hard all night long, but one word from Jesus and you saying yes to him. Tithing is the perfect example of this. Because over and over again, being in ministry, I get to see this in operation, especially the year I was helping with finance here, where I was counting the contributions and praying blessing over those people and going, God, you promised that as we give 10%, you make the rest be plenty. plenty. And then because God loves us, he overflows blessing on top. It's not about the 10%, right? It's about the obedience of our heart. And then he goes, I bless obedience. And all of a sudden, more fish than their boats could handle. They actually had to call somebody else over. So I want to talk about the nets for just 1 second. I know we're short on time. We have so much going on this morning. But the nets are important because the nets represented for Peter many things. First, it was his identity. It was his profession. These nets were the tool that he used to perform his task. They were his security. They were his source of provision. They were probably made by his own hands. And there's phrases in this story. It says they began to tear. And you know, sometimes we come to God with our human efforts, and our human efforts cannot contain the glory of God. Our performance will break under that pressure. It's man-made. It can't handle all that God has. It says that they were washing their nets, and I just got this picture of everyone trying to be worthy of God in their own efforts, right? Trying to clean ourselves. It's like our human effort, God calls it rags. And his righteousness is way better. It says they worked hard and they caught nothing. Have you ever been like spinning your wheels in something? It just feels like the more you spin, the deeper you sink. You know, I mean, we worked hard all night. I have nothing to show for it. I'm a master fisherman, and I have nothing to show for a whole night's work. It's like when Evan drives Lyft, and, you know, he'll come home, and it'll be like, $30. That was it. I was like, you were out for hours. What was going on? You know, it's like that, or it's so defeating, isn't it? So defeating. Things in our own effort, it's human ingenuity, is what these nets represent for us. It represents our works versus his grace. His grace, that's all we need. The Bible says that sin entangles, but I was thinking, you know, this isn't even just a picture of sin necessarily. This is our good instead of his best. And I can be as excellent as I can in any gifts that God gives me. I can do all the right things. But you know what? None of it compares when you just put it in the hands of Jesus and let him use it. It's more than we can contain. It's amazing. We have to be willing to go deep. Sometimes that's hard. I have a nephew. At the time, he was about 3 years old, and we're swimming in a pool, and he says, Auntie Kissa, that's what he calls me. I want to jump to you. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I start walking out, and next thing you know, I'm getting deeper and deeper and deeper, and here comes this three-year-old jumping toward me, and I can't touch the bottom. So being like any good aunt, you know, I caught him, of course, and we're both down, and I'm like lifting him up, trying to get him air. And being a good aunt, I threw him back to the edge because I couldn't stand right there. It feels very helpless to be out in the deep. Many of us avoid it because we don't want to go there. We think if it hurts this bad without really going to that deep place, I'm going to die if I actually open up and talk to somebody about this deep stuff that's happening in me. I want to be able to control where my feet go. I don't want to go out where the riptide could suck me in. It feels scary, but Jesus goes, I want to go deeper. I want to go deeper. And I want to say yes to that. Because I'm just like Peter, he didn't choose argument, he chose agreement. He didn't go, well, but I've been out to that spot, and actually the fish we can't catch them out there. They're actually over here. He could have said, I'm the professional Jesus. I know what I'm talking about. But he chose agreement. He said, Master, if you say so. Wow. This was before Peter saw a ton of miracles. Like, this was before Jesus really became well known. This is a moment where he chose trust. He chose trust. Most of us wait till there's like proof and then we'll trust. Wow. Unity with God develops maturity in the ways of God. Fill that in. Unity develops maturity. And I love this. I heard this, I think it was Havilah that I heard this from, our dear friend Havilah. She said, it's not about ignoring all the voices. It's about saying yes to the one voice. And that really takes the pressure off, doesn't it? I love that. It's about saying yes to the one voice. That's how we grow fruit and character in our lives. We choose to respond to the Spirit of God. And typically, here's the key, it's opposite of what your flesh wants to do. Come on. So tell your neighbor, go deep. Come on, tell him, go deep. Yes. Okay, here's number three. To be all in, I must say yes to an identity exchange. An identity exchange. I've been meeting a lot of new people. And the most awkward thing ever, don't you hate this when this happens? So I'll go up to people and I go, oh, hi, you know, and I've already met them. So now I'm introducing them to Evan and I'll go, you know, hi, this is my husband. What's your name again? Right? There's like this pressure. You could know these people for 15 years and you're like, I know that I know your name. I'm really sorry right now, but I'm having to introduce you to these people. And there's just this, and you're still stuck in going, how can I forget their name? And they've already introduced themselves to each other, you know? It's like so awkward. But have you ever been around someone who is like I've had this happen to me where they'll go, oh, your name's Carissa. Oh, that's cool. You really look like an Amanda to me. And you're like, thanks, I guess. You know, Evan gets it all the time. People are like, has anyone ever told you you look like Jeremy Camp? And it's like, well, I'm Evan, but thank you. I guess that's a compliment. You know, it's always different people, too. It's really funny, but that's kind of awkward, the identity or the meeting new people and sharing your names and things. That can be kind of awkward, right? Well, this story right here that we're going to rewind to, it's the encounter that Jesus and Simon had when they first met. They first met, Simon's brother actually introduced them. This is found in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 42. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas, which means Peter. Could you imagine you go and meet this person? Now, your brothers already talked him up quite a bit. Hey, we met the Messiah. He's it. He's the one. And you go up to him, and the first thing he says to you is like, hi. He looks intently at you. Yeah, I know your name is this, but you're actually going to be called this. Like, thank you, I guess. You know, like, that's the name on my birth certificate, but whatever you say, okay. Jesus renames him. Simon means reed, but Peter means rock. He renames him. He gives him a new identity. Jesus continues to call him higher, giving him the new purpose as well. So let's get back to our story and we'll see the new purpose that Jesus has. This is verse 8. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. He realizes the miracle and he says, leave me, I'm not worthy. And I wonder if we come to Jesus that way, if we ever have that awestruck moment when we realize that our best efforts, our nets, our ingenuity, our attempts to be righteous, they just don't compare to the glory of who Jesus is. That's a place of humility, of surrender. He says, leave me. I'm not even worthy. And Jesus' response is so beautiful. You're so good, Jesus. He says, don't be afraid. When others pull away, Jesus presses in. When others feel shame, and they want to hide and they want to pull back, Jesus presses in. When someone has a loss and they don't know what to do with all their grief and they pull away, Jesus presses in. He says, don't be afraid. I see all of it, Simon, and I have something even better for you. And how beautiful that Jesus didn't say, maybe one day you'll be able to live up to your name. Maybe one day you'll do all the right things and I'll entrust you with the keys to the kingdom. First encounter, Jesus calls him higher. He says, I know that this is what everybody else calls you, but this is what I call you. You are going to be Peter. You are going to be a rock. And I love this. Let's look at this. This is a future story. And Jesus gives us more details on why he's called Simon Peter. This is found in Matthew 16. So we're fast forwarding in time a little bit. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Wow. Such conviction. Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and church, get this, upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." Can I get an amen? Amen. "I will give you the keys to the kingdom." Everybody say keys. "Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Knowing and believing who you are in Jesus gives you authority, gives you a right standing with God, gives you confidence before him, because you don't stand with all your nets, dragging all your nets into heaven. Some of you are just content to do that. And I want to call you higher today because I love you. It's not just about dragging yourself into heaven. It's about bringing heaven down to earth. He's given us the keys to the kingdom. Sonship comes with this promise. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Authority dictates accessibility. Authority dictates accessibility. And Jesus has a glorious exchange for you. We had a foreign exchange student. I know I'm running low on time. I'll hurry. We had a foreign exchange student that came to live with us. She had been with another home opener for a few months. And at that home, she hadn't been eating because she did not feel comfortable to go open the fridge. This family had agreed to feed her and house her, and she hid out in her room. And the teacher at the school said, "Do you think that your family would be willing to bring in this person?" I honestly didn't think my dad would say yes because we were a ministry family, so we're constantly giving out. Our home was the one place where we could just refresh and renew. Didn't have to be pouring out into anybody. But my dad said, "Yeah." I was shocked. I thought it was amazing. So this girl, she's beautiful. Her name is Carmen. And two others followed her the subsequent years. But Carmen came to live with us. And I cannot tell you the joy that she brought to our home at one of the worst times of our life, when my parents were divorcing. I mean, it was just beautiful how God orchestrated it. But the gorgeous thing was watching her blow up from eating too much food, you know. It was like we go, "Oh, you need to try this. Oh, you need to try this." And she could get up in the middle of the night. She could confidently approach that fridge and open it up. My dad gave her a key to the house. Because he had the authority, he could say, "I'm adopting you as a daughter. I'm your American dad. And you have a place in this family." And do you know, to this day, all three of those girls call my dad, dad. They are his daughters. And those of you that have experienced adoption, you know what that might feel like. But they talk about how when you first foster a child or adopt a child and they've had enough trauma experiences, you could even catch them hiding food in their room. Because they fear, they don't believe that they're an accepted and loved son or daughter. And some of us respond to Father God the same way. I'm living this right now, you guys. I go, "I need to go get a job. I got to provide for myself." And God goes, "Wait a minute. I thought I was your provider." No child walks into your house and says, "What am I going to do for dinner?" Mom's like, "I got you. I've been cooking." Or at least there's some mac and cheese you can make for yourself in the fridge, right? You know, like, or in the pantry. We're sons, we're daughters, we have full access. We have keys to the house. Keys to the kingdom. You're not an orphan. You're not a foster child. You are a son, you are a daughter, you belong. You are loved. Oh, if we would understand that. We would stop going to people and going, "Jesus doesn't like that. What would Jesus do?" We would go, "You're a son, you're a daughter. Rise to the occasion and act like it." We're hiding in our addiction, our sin. And Jesus goes, "No, I paid for your freedom. And it did not come cheap. Rise to the occasion, son, daughter. You are beloved. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed." He wants to exchange our victim mentality, our orphan heart, with the heart of a son, a heart of a daughter. Says, "I am victorious because Jesus says I'm victorious. My nets are nothing, but in his hands they bring in a big catch." Come on. Yeah. You are good, God. We love you. It's an identity to be realized and not a standard to be obtained. Jesus would rebuke his disciples when they didn't have enough faith. And I think this takes the most faith of all, to not deserve it, but receive it and stand in it. I want to encourage you with that today. Okay, we've got a big list. It's our last one. We'll be quick. To be all in, I must say yes to the opportunity to be included, solidarity with his spirit, an identity exchange, and here's number four, a different destiny. A different destiny. Luke 5:11 says, as soon as they landed, not, okay, I'm going to sleep on it and I'll get back to you. As soon as they landed, they left everything and they followed Jesus. They dropped their nets and they took up a cross of purpose. I love that they started small. They started with a, Jesus just said, hey, come taste and see. Come follow. I'm going to make you into something. I'm not going to expect you to have all the answers. I'm not going to expect you to know everything. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to follow you. And you're going to start to do as I do. And then one day, I'm going to hand the keys over. It's going to be yours to bring kingdom to earth. A different destiny. Peter gave up his dreams of being a fisherman, to be a fisher of men. There was a beggar he ran into, and he said, you know, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give to you. And that's what discipleship is about. It's you taking this identity, and you going, you know what, there's better for you. You don't have to wait till you're all cleaned up to come to church, to come to this service. We're all broken people. We all have nets that are breaking and are worth nothing unless we surrender them to Jesus and go, I'll take up a cross. I'll go all in. I'll give my life over to you. Romans 8, verses 29 and 30. I love this. It's just this beautiful picture of discipleship that with some details that are like spot on to what God has been speaking, not only to this house, but I mean, I'm hearing it even from other places. I keep hearing this theme of like your sons, your daughters, you have authority. Pastor Chris was talking about last week, it's in the air because we did not consult on that. It was like, you're talking about authority, I'm talking about authority. Evidently, we need to know this stuff, you know? But look at this. This is in Romans. It says, from the distant past, his eternal love reached into the future. You see, he knew those that would be his one day. He knew your name. He knew you'd be sitting here right now. He knew that he would be calling your name saying, hey, let's go deeper. Hey, go all in. Hey, I want to include you in what I'm doing. Come be a part of what I'm doing. He knew he would choose you beforehand to be conformed to the image of his son. Because in the son is the picture of what God intends to you and me. It's not the standard. Jesus is this picture of what he wants for you and me. To be conformed to the image of his son so that Jesus would be the firstborn in a new family of believers, all brothers and sisters. As for those he chose beforehand, he called them into a different destiny so that they would experience what it means to be made right with God and share in his glory. You are a son, you are a daughter, you are loved today. And I wonder if we get that picture of what Jesus is inviting us into. If today we can just drop the fear, drop the shame, drop the doubt, go, I want to go all in with you. I want to go all in with you. Bow your heads with me. Jesus, we are here in this moment, hearing you call our name. You are beckoning us. You're saying, come, follow me. I want to make you fishers of men. Come, follow me. I want you to be part of my family. Come, follow me. I want to give you keys and access to things you wouldn't have otherwise. I want to show you my ways. I want to teach you my ways. May we come to your word, God, not as a chore or duty, but because we want to meet with you, because we want to know how you think. And if you're in this room today and you just say, I have never actually committed my life to Christ. I've never said yes to Jesus at all. Or maybe you said yes to Jesus, but you didn't go all in. And he wants a little more of your heart today. Maybe you're here today and you're just challenged to go deeper. Maybe you've been kind of waiting on the shore. Maybe there's parts of your heart you haven't quite given access to Jesus because it's so painful. Maybe today you've been sitting before God going, what do you want me to do with my life? He has a destiny all planned for you. He will guide your every step. Your destiny is to be a son or a daughter, to bring kingdom realities to earth. That's your destiny. If any of those things are you today, would you just lift up a hand to Jesus just to show him, hey, yes, that's me. Just a physical thing to go, yes, God, that's me. I just want to pray for all of you. I see those hands. Jesus, we just bring ourselves to you today. We want to grow in you. We want to know what it means to be a disciple. I pray that you just bless these that have their hands raised and your whole body that's represented here today, every single disciple of Christ in this room. And if you want to commit your life to Jesus, just pray these words after me. Just say, Jesus, I need you. I want to follow you. And I'm all in today. Give me that exchange. I give you my sin, my best efforts, and I receive your right standing. I receive your forgiveness. Help me to learn how to follow you. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Bless your people today, God. Amen.